Okay, Zoomers, I want to make sure I include you today too. Let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless everyone who is traveling, who is recovering from things, for needs that are not spoken in this room, dear Lord. I just pray for each and every person. Lord, we adore you. Mm-hmm. We love you. We are so excited to be able to just talk about you and say your name this morning. And we thank you so much for every single woman who's here, how you uniquely created her, and you knew she would be in this room this morning. And I pray you will bless her, each one individually, dear Lord. We are talking about communication today, Lord, and I just lift up my gratitude to you that you want to communicate with us and that you are here. And I ask that you communicate through each of us today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Okay. This is the first time every seat hadn't been filled.
I know. Yeah,
just think about that.
We have a lot going on.
Okay.
Yes, we do. Whatever you want to do, you just do it. I didn't know that Dr. Youssef would be talking about the disciples' prayer and the Lord's prayer and all that when I planned this. I mean, I would like to say I'm this brilliant teacher that coordinated this to come up in sync with Dr. Youssef's sermons, but I didn't. And what's interesting about this class is this has always happened. We used to accuse Carolyn of getting Dr. Youssef's schedule about what she was always right in sync what he was preaching on. And it was just totally the Holy Spirit. And Lori told me the same thing happened with her too. But shortly before the Lord went back to heaven to be with his Father, he prayed a prayer just for you. And he said that it was a prayer only for believers. In John 17:8, he said, I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And in that prayer, he prayed for you for life, for eternal life. And Jesus says that, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. I love that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life does mean endless in time, but it also means endlessly knowing God. And when you know him that way and communicate at that level of intimacy, then it's a heart intertwining that you almost don't know where he ends and you begin. It's that type of thing. If you've lost anyone who's a Christian, you know how comforting that is to know that that transition is just mm-hmm. seamless. You know, it's just a beautiful thing. It is the branch and the vine relationship. And I always feel like I'm cheating when I quote this verse from John 15, because I always feel like this is Charlotte Travis's verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, as we go through the notes, I'm going to be skipping a lot because, first of all, I wrote too much. And some of you know this week, I didn't really get complaints, but I got feedback. And so, also, I want to allow time at the end to pray for our unsaved family members and friends mm-hmm. and prodigals. And so, I'm not going to follow the notes exactly. I'm going to skip a whole lot. I'm going to skip down to verse 11. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus wants you to have this deep abiding relationship and he wants your joy to be full. Most of us long for this type of intimacy, and it's almost incomprehensible that the God of the universe, who is so perfect, so omniscient, so powerful, he actually wants to communicate with us. That's the part I almost can't get over. Mm-hmm. But he does. He actually does. So we have some level of intimacy with friends, family members, spouses, but
The Lord is the only one with whom it can be truly unceasing. He never stops communicating. His communication is 24/7. We can stop receiving because of preoccupation and all kinds of other things, but he never stops communicating. So if there's ever a poor communication or a break in communication, we can only look to see, you know, what are we doing? Are we? It's just like all of my analogies, I realize, were for someone my age, and not all of you are. And so, the old radio receiver, if you got too far from it, you couldn't pick it up, you know. And I also thought about static, but most people here don't know about tuning the dial till you get it exactly right so you can get that reception. But that's what we are. We, you know, we need to be tuned in sometimes. People who have mighty and powerful relationships with the Lord and great communication, they just want more. Paul, till the day he died, was trying to get to know the Lord more. And you go, well, Paul knew the Lord. He had an amazing salvation experience. He had revelations from the Lord that were tremendous communication. He had, he was inspired to evangelize the world. So you would think, well, Paul knows the Lord, but he wanted more, more, more. And that's the more that we experience of him, the more we're going to want more of him too. I've got a question. Who do you think of when you think of a great listener in your life? Who's a really good listener to you?
And could people from Zoom also be answering these questions?
I'm going to ask them second.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is for us first.
Yeah, she looks out for the Zoomers, which is good. Somebody needs
that. Well, when my mom was alive, she was a really good listener.
So your mother?
Yeah. Right? Well, I don't really have anybody right.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. My mom, too.
Yeah, my mom was a great listener.
I wish I could be that good of a listener to my kids.
Wouldn't that be a goal to have?
I have all the answers, so that's kind of hard.
Okay, Zoomers, who are the great listeners in your life? As I yell into the computer again.
Casey, for me, it's you.
Oh, thank you, Muriel.
It's true.
Thank you.
Casey, for me, it's Beth, Muriel, my friend Wendy, and you too. And I'm so grateful I could just cry for all four of y'all.
Yeah, y'all are about to make me cry right now too. But don't do that. I don't need to cry right now, but I'll cry later. All right. So describe your relationship with that person who listens to you. Very intimate.
Peaceful. They're really tender and very peaceful.
Very peaceful. Zoomers, how would you describe that? We've got tender, peaceful, and intimate.
Encouraging. Not judgmental. Give wise counsel. Biblical counsel.
And how much...
No, I was just going to say, I would say all the same things for you, and the fact that we've collaborated a couple of times, you know, on some teaching that we've done. And it's just always such a sweet interchange of communication when we do that. And I think the reason that we've enjoyed doing that together is we've both been listening to the Lord and then able to really confirm and affirm things in one another. So I'm very grateful for that, Casey. Love you.
Love you. And it is amazing when we've done that Muriel will say something and I'll say, that's what I've been thinking about doing or what. And it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit does that when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and you're called to it. Thank you. And, you know, Muriel was my teacher. She was one of my first teachers. And my very first teacher was a good friend who's still my mentor. And but she has mercy. She's 99% mercy and 1% everything else. And so when she did the Bible, and I did the Bible, and I desperately knew that I needed to know the Bible. So I go to this Bible study. Well, if anyone came in, I mean, with a hangnail, my friend that's so full of mercy, we would stop everything and we would pray for hours and we would we met, we would rarely get to any Bible study. And so I stayed, and that was exactly what we were supposed to be doing. And I stayed in that group for the fellowship, but I had to go somewhere else for teaching, you know. And so I joined a Bible study, and I started going to Muriel's Sunday school class. And today, later, I'm going to have her, she doesn't know this, I'm going to have her read this verse. That was the very first verse that Muriel taught me. And it was, I was trying to think last night, if it was 27 or 28 years ago, but it was a while. So anyway, this is, and so we really, really, when somebody listens to us, we trust them. We have that intimacy. And so thinking of God as being the ultimate person who is always listening to us, it kind of gives you a different perspective on the relationship. It's that deeply intimate one. And I will say this, Melanie, what you said about right now, there is no one. When I ask this question, because I've asked this question before, I would say at least half the people say, I don't really have anyone. So that's a message to all of us. Just think about how powerful that would be if when they thought of great listeners, they thought of us, of Christians. Great. So God's listening is way beyond human capabilities. He listens so closely, I'm at the top of 77, that he says, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. And that's a promise. So I'm going to go skip to a verse in the middle of the page, Psalm 4:3. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. And as hard as it is to accept, we are the godly, we are the righteous, because we are covered, as flawed and sinful as we are covered by the blood of Jesus. And so that's who he's talking about, that he will hear. And he says that so many times throughout the Bible, that he is going to hear us, that he doesn't want us to miss that or to skip over that part. That's very, very important. And at the top of 78, he never grows weary of listening to us. And you know, no matter how much you love someone, sometimes you grow weary of listening. I mean, it's just, again, you can love someone so much, but you just think, I don't know how much longer I can stay awake, you know. And so, but the Lord never has that energy problem. You know, he's endless in that. Isaiah 59:1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. It never dulls. He's always tuned into us. And he wants honest communication. He wants us to bring, he wants us to bring our joys. I think that's one of the things he probably wishes we would do more, is bringing him our daily joys and our problems and our failings and our hurts. I mean, all of it, but also that joy he wants us to share with him. And we don't have to worry about misspeaking or crafting a prayer just right. I get those questions a lot about prayer, and it really doesn't matter. The most inarticulate toddler can pray, and he's going to hear that prayer and honor that prayer and be glad, absolutely glad to answer that prayer. In fact, God is pretty unimpressed with people who are overly concerned with how their prayers are crafted. His interest is not in the content of the prayer so much as the content of the heart. And I think some of the most effective prayers I have ever prayed was when I could not, I was so brokenhearted, I could not articulate. Mm-hmm. I truly could not form a sentence, and just crying out to the Lord, and sometimes just crying and saying, I want to pray. I don't even know what to say. And he hears those prayers, you know. Matthew 6:5-8 says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, so they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So not being like the Pharisees and hypocrites, that is the first foundational thing of effective prayer, going into it that way. The place where I have trouble with this is in public prayer. You know, public prayer, I know when I was very young, and I didn't have an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, but my parents took us to church and PBS and all that, but sometimes I would be asked to pray, and I would want to craft these beautiful prayers. It was like I was writing an essay. It wasn't like I was talking to God. And I was doing that not to honor him, because there's nothing wrong with beautifully crafted prayers. Nothing wrong. The Psalms are those. But my heart motive was, oh, I'm going to be standing in front of the congregation, so I need to craft a beautiful. My heart was not right in how I was communicating. So I had to, once I developed an authentic relationship with the Lord, I really had to train myself to tune out that there was anyone else in the room, that I was only talking to God. And that's very hard to do for me. And so, but, you know, what the result was much less impressive prayers, but at the same time, authentic conversations with the Lord. God wants to communicate to us his comfort. Paul calls our Heavenly Father the God of all comfort. What a wonderful thought, the God of all comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in Christ. Abundant comfort. Think about that. Hosea says, and this is a beautiful image for prayer. Hosea says that God wants to come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. And this week I've had this image of myself in prayer, that when we're in prayer, that the Lord is just coming down. His communication is coming down like a spring rain, like a shower that just covers us. I just think that's a beautiful prayer image. Sometimes we think of him as being so high up that, you know, he can't see the details that are going on, but he certainly does. Over a dozen times in the scripture, his compassion, that word is used. And there are probably 100 examples or more in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm at the top of 80 now. Psalm 115:5 says, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. And when the Lord describes himself, the thing, you know, I'm an English major, so what I love, and this is where one where Muriline Bond, she's such a word person. When the Lord describes himself, the first word he leads with is compassion. And especially in Jesus's time, what you lead with is one, that's like the place of honor and importance for any kind of list. And so the fact that he leads with compassion about himself, when he's describing himself, is very important. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations. And when you're down, you may feel hesitant to impose your sadness on other people. But God wants to be the one that you run to when you're crushed. He wants that. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 34:18. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. And destitute doesn't just mean money. We can be destitute of energy, destitute of spirit, just completely washed out, you know, and go to him and He's going to pick us up and be compassionate, just as we, as flawed parents, would be for our own children. That's exactly how we'd be. Now we're going to move on to specifically how God communicates. And this is something else I get asked a lot, like, how exactly does he talk to you? And I just want to assure you, I wish I did, but I don't have an audible voice. And so I just wrote this in general from the scriptures about how God speaks to us. Now, I will say that sometimes he speaks in unusual ways, and sometimes you don't want to hear what he says. Like this week, I was really working myself into a pity party. I was on my way to have a pretty good one. And so what do you do when you have a pity party? You invite someone who's going to pity you. And so I called the most tenderhearted person I knew, Carolyn Caswell, and I thought, that's good. And so I call up Carolyn and I say, you know, whining about all this stuff. And I end up, and I had two flat tires, and it's been 11 days and I don't have a car. And my life's just complicated. I'm having to, you know, wait, hitch rides everywhere. And everything. She went, that's the best thing I ever heard. She says, I know the Lord did this because I've been telling you you're too busy. And she said, you need to stay home. And God did this so you could stay home. I think this is the best thing that ever happened.
And I can hear her say that.
I didn't see it coming.
I thought,
she totally defied your pity party, didn't she?
Who are you?
And what have you done with my sweet friend, Carolyn? So, you know, that didn't work. So I called Muriel, you know. So Muriel, well, I didn't call. I texted. We more mostly text. So I texted her. And so she was nice. But to cheer me up, she sends me this little video clip. And the punchline of this, it was a funny one. And so the punchline was, if the devil can't make you mean, he'll make you busy. So basically, she was telling me exactly what Carolyn had just told me. So at that point, you know, God was communicating. I wasn't exactly what I had in mind, but he was communicating with me. The only infallible communication from the Lord is the Word of God. Everything else we can insert ourselves into. So they're all valid. They're all important. They're all good. But you have to hold them all up to the Word of God, because that's the only infallible one. And, you know, whether it's prayer, preaching, teaching, testimonies, the Holy Spirit, dreams, visions, and miracles, circumstances, or Holy Communion, we can put our own spin on those things sometimes. You know, we can, I remember one of my early Bible teachers, not Muriel, but an early Bible teacher was really, what she was very knowledgeable and respected, but she was way off base on some things. And I, you know, I went to her and she was having this discussion with me about it. She said, don't you think that's right? And I said, and I didn't know anything about anything, but he had shown me a few scriptures. And I would go, what about the scripture here? You know, I was trying to make it match up, and it would match up. And that's what we should all be doing. We should be having courageous conversations when things are not biblically sound or people are off base. We need to go. That's what Jesus, the example we had last week of Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus used the scriptures and said, this does not match up. This is what God says. So that's what we're doing. And it says it towards the top of 82. For God does speak now one way, now another, though no one perceives it, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds. He may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to turn them from wrongdoing and keep them from pride, to preserve them from the pit, their lives from perishing by the sword. And that's from Job 33. He's just not a one-size-fits-all God. And if you have a mentor, the way your mentor communicates, or God communicates with your mentor, may be quite different from how he communicates with you. And that happened to me early on. And so sometimes we think if we don't have exactly the same type of prayer life or the same type of Holy Spirit leading or whatever, sometimes we think, you know, there's something wrong with us. And maybe the Lord is nudging us to seek more. But sometimes it's just a different way of communication. I'm going to scoot on over here to... And we've talked about at bottom 84, that was a pretty good example of God talking through his servants with Miriam and Carolyn talking to me. And it's interesting, God will sometimes send you people who will communicate with you that are not the people that you really thought you would receive from. They'll be quite different from you sometimes. And so be open when God sends someone that, again, it may be something you feel like you don't, someone you don't feel like you have anything in common with, or he'll send you to witness to or communicate to someone that you would think, you know, in a million years, I could never see us having an intimate conversation, but I think the Lord's leading me to do this. And think about how Ananias felt, it's on page 85, when he sent him to Saul. You know, there was that verse where Saul was breathing out threats and murder. Can you imagine being so terrifying that you are breathing out murder? I mean, this is the person that Ananias was sent to. And of course, at first he kind of pushed back a little bit, but it was absolutely, he was the one picked for that job. And he did go, and next thing we know, you know, Paul's having hearing audible voices. He's having visions. He's asking to be baptized. I mean, it was just amazing. So don't look at the person. If someone comes to you with a message, don't look at the person, look at the message. You do have to be discerning, because not all messengers are authentic. And again, you just test it against the word of God. Let's see here. Now, certainly at the top of the list, at the top of page 86, is that God talks through the Holy Spirit. So wonderful. And God will talk to you through the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 3:15 urges you to listen. As it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts in rebellion. And you'll hear from him primarily in your prayer time. You get nudges, you get inclinations, you get promptings. But again, you have to hold what you hear up, you know, read your Bible and test what you've just heard. Ask the Lord to reveal to you in the word, you know, if this is actually what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Because sometimes we can actually hear our preacher's voice, or we can hear our parents' voice, or we can hear mostly our own voice. If we want something, if we want an answer to be something so much, we can impose, like, I think God really wants me to have this. You know, so we have to always test it against the word. God talks through stories and testimonies. Jesus certainly knew the value of a good parable. Our testimonies are really, really important. Billy Graham used those. I love our videos on Sunday mornings. I think when people do their testimonies on the videos, I often think that all over the world, out of the wonderful sermon and wonderful music and all, that there are probably a lot of unbelievers out there that testimony is the part that they're going to relate to, because people confess all kinds of things. And you can see an unbeliever saying, that's how I am, you know, and that God is possible for them, because that's what those testimonies do. Those testimonies, bottom line, are saying the gospel is true. The gospel was true for me, and this grace that's being offered covered me, and it can cover you. That's what those testimonies are saying. So I'm going to look up at dreams and visions in the homework, because it's covered twice. And so I'm going to move on to confession at the bottom of 89. Really can't convey enough what a beautiful gift that confession is. We kind of mar that gift, because confession to us, when we think of it, we do have childhood memories of childhood of confession, maybe yielding punishment or having bad associations, but with the Lord, it's all good associations. It's simply coming into agreement with God about our lives and our sins. And that's a wonderful feeling to have when you get into that. It's an important step in anything in your Christian life. You cannot have salvation without confession and repentance. You cannot have sanctification without confession. You cannot have good, effective prayer without confession. So it's the foundation of just about everything and we don't spend enough time on. Now, this section, I had planned this anyway. It's a good thing because we don't have any more time. But this whole section on confession is one you should do by yourself. You should go through, if you don't even have time to do the homework or read anything else this week, read this section on confession and kind of do an audit of your confession life, the part of your life that is in prayer life that is confession. And it's three types of confessions: confessing your faith, confessing to one another, and confessing to God. And the only other thing I would say is be sure you have one person, another biblically sound, knowledgeable Christian that you can confess your sin to. It's good to confess to others. And, you know, like I say, you know, I can't go to my friend who's so filled with mercy because she will see the best in me. I need to go to one of my other friends for confession because, you know, when you confess, you really, you don't want someone just to say, oh, you're fine. You know, that's not what you want. Okay. I'm going to skip on over here to... there's a lot of confession. Holy Communion, what a gift. It's such an intentional time of confession. That's what part of what Holy Communion is. And I leave our communion, when we do that on the Sunday that we did, I just leave there with such joy and such a lightness of feeling, you know. And so, and allow yourself that joy. That is a time where we can confess our sins and get them out there and let the Lord take all that from us and wash us, let his blood be aware, just be more aware that his blood is in us, that he's covering us with his blood, that there's been an exchange made in your life, your sin for his righteousness. And you came out way ahead in that exchange. That's a wonderful exchange. We should be, it's called celebrating the Lord's Supper. And that's what it should be ultimately. After the confession part, it should be a celebration because it was the best gift anybody ever gave you. And that's, think of it as an appointment when you go to communion, even maybe the day before, just realize you have an appointment with the Lord the next day, and it's called communion. And you're going to come out of that way ahead. You're going to come out of that with a blessing. And so, you know, just accept that gift. I think we need to pause more and really celebrate the celebration that we have. Okay, I'm going to ask Teresa to have to end us in prayer. Say anything she wants to say about the prayer cards. But then I'm going to, we're going to pray for our unsaved. As soon as she finishes praying, I'm just going to jump in and start popcorn prayers, very brief prayers for either unsaved people in your family, unsaved friends, prodigals, someone maybe that's a Christian that you feel like has really drifted and you want the Lord to bring them back. We're going to pray for those people this morning, and then I will end it at the end. Teresa?
Do you have the prayer slips? You asked me to remind you.
And I left them at home.
And that's why I keep my little supply.
Teresa is always prepared.
It's all those years of being a Girl Scout. Mm-hmm. So just...
Are we getting prayer requests from the Zoomers too?
They never email me.
So we need to email Teresa, right?
By no later than noon tomorrow.
Then so no later than noon tomorrow. Y'all hear that? Zoomers?
Yes.
Okay. Wendy is
nodding. I don't have your email address.
It's on every time I send you the prayer list.
I'll send it to you.
Maybe I'm not getting.
We might have your address wrong. I'll check on that. Okay.
I sent it out late this week because our internet was down for like 3 days at home.
Oh, no.
And it was tough because my husband works together.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Teresa, if you'll close us in prayer, that'd be great.
Gracious Lord, you brought each of us here today. I thank you for waking us up. I thank you for those who are joining us virtually. They are very special because they are taking time out of their day to learn about you and to worship you. Lord, we have learned a lot about prayer this morning, and I feel the least qualified to pray, but I thank you, Lord, because you are a forgiving God, and we love you with all of our hearts. Please be with each one of these wonderful ladies today and this week. Direct their steps. May they be in full communion with you. In your Son's blessed name, amen.
Lord, I pray for the salvation of Kathy and Andy. And I pray, dear Lord, for my son who knows you, who's been saved. And I thank you for that. But his career and his focus and his priorities have drifted, Lord. And I just pray that you will draw him closer to yourself in the name of Jesus.
Lord, I continue to pray for my father and hope that he comes to know you in a very special way. Yes. Well, one day be with my mother.
Jesus, I just pray for my daughter, Mary Ellen, who is just out there, Lord Jesus. She is in the pigsty, Father God, but I thank you that by faith you have shown me that you're bringing her home, Father God, and I am bringing her to you every day, and I thank you, Jesus, that you are working all things together for good. I thank you that I can cast my care on you, Jesus, because you love me and you care for me. I thank you for Mary Ellen's salvation. I thank you that you're drawing her home. In Jesus' name.
And Lord, I bring my prodigal Miles to you. And I thank you, Father God, that your word does tell us that when they confess, Lord, that they can't be snatched from you. And I thank you that you have shown me in this last season of his college that you are moving in his life. You are surrounding him with other believers. And that over these years, Father God, it is slow in the coming, but you have built my faith and just patiently waiting and continue in prayer. And so I pray that you would continue to grip his heart each and every morning as he wakes up, that when he wakes up and he looks to the sky, that he would see you, Lord God, that he would reach for you and groan for you. I pray that you would protect him and surround him with other believers, Father God. And as he searches for a job, I pray so fervently, Lord, that you would bring him to a place with other believers where there would be wholesome talk of you, Lord God. I pray that he would desire you again. Forgive me for cooperating with the enemy. Forgive me, Lord God, in Jesus' name, I bring him to you, bring him.
Father, I lift my grandchildren to you who are all non-believers. I lift my daughter to you who has, she calls herself a Mormon, so she is not walking with you. And for her boyfriend, Father, I just pray that you will pierce their heart and you will bring them close to you so that they will learn the truth of your love and all that you offer them, the gifts, the many gifts, Father. I pray for Dakota, this young man who is living with me right now, as he is a believer and he is being tugged by others to not go to church. Father, I just pray that you give him the strength to walk the path that you have prepared for him. And Father, I do pray for strength for myself to give him the proper guidance, as he is only 18 and needs you so much, and all that he has been through as a foster child. Mm-hmm. I pray this in Christ's name. Mm-hmm.
Can I pray for Claire, my niece, who is studying to be a rabbi, and pray that she would just hear your gospel as she studies your word.
Dear Jesus, we pray for those in our families that have little time left and that don't know you yet. Mm-hmm. We know that you created each one of us and that you know how to talk to them, and we pray that you would speak mightily to them through your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Father, I just pray for my sister, Laura, who's just living in open rebellion against you, and
I just pray, Lord, that you will bring someone to her, that she will remember how she was taught and be drawn back to your word, Lord, and live for you versus her. Realize to all of her, she's openly living with this other woman. So I just lift her to you, goodness.
Father, I pray for our daughter, Grace, who is drifted from you, Lord Jesus, from sound doctrine. Close her ears to all the false teachers. And when we go to visit this week, Lord, show me when to be silent and give me the courage, Lord, if I need to speak up. May I trust you, Lord. And for her precious daughters who are not hearing the true gospel anymore, Lord Jesus, work in their hearts, bring them to yourself, and use us as grandparents, Lord, to share the truth with them. And may we walk in grace and truth during our visit, in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I pray to you this morning for my father, Bill. Lord, I know you know that he calls to you by name only. It is not in a community of believers. Doesn't go to church. Doesn't open his Bible. Lord, I pray that you reach into his heart and touch him as only you can. Because, Lord, you are a miracle worker. Mm-hmm. You truly are. And I know that, Lord. Help him to know that a relationship with you brings a joy that does surpass all understanding. It is not a checklist. It is not something you do because your parents did it, or because it's the right thing that you were told to do, but rather because it is the only way to eternal life and a true joy. That's my prayer this morning. Amen.
Lord, I praise you that you are a miracle worker. And as I sit here amongst these gorgeous women and these beautiful hearts, Lord God, I thank you that you saved me, a rebellious, wayward 35-year-old woman almost 26 years ago, Father God. And so I thank you. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would use me in any way as a testimony to you, that I was the prodigal that came back and that I love you so much, Lord God. And thank you for just changing me, for transforming me, and for taking a very broken, rebellious vessel and washing and cleansing and purifying me all my sin, Father God, that I come clean before you, not because of anything that I've done, but because of your precious blood that covers me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, so much. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the strength of our prayers that we can come to you as we hear each other's hearts and groanings, Father God. But I praise you for your eternal promises. And I praise you that we can lift our eyes to the hills and know that our help comes from you, Father God. Strengthen each one of us as we bring these prayers to you, to your altar. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Father, I want to thank you for the oneness of heart that we're experiencing as we gather on these Tuesday mornings, Father. I thank you that our hearts united before you, as each prayer has been lifted up, that there's been a oneness. And you say that if any two of you shall agree on anything, that it shall be done for us by our Father in heaven. And Father, I thank you that we have lifted these up, that our hearts have joined together, that you've heard. And we embrace that promise that you've heard us. And that even in this moment, even as we prayed, you began to intervene and work in every situation, God. So I just thank you for this safe place. I thank you for one mind and one heart that you've joined together among this group, Lord, that when we cry out, you see united hearts in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.
Lord, we're so grateful for this time with you. We love you, and we ask that every one of these prayers, dear Lord, are answered in your time. but it's the desire of our hearts that they be answered soon and very soon. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's see if we've got just a few. We have some time left. Let's go back to that. I want to make sure.